same people
that brought you the war in Iraq, which killed over a million people, are now bringing you the war against Iran. The Make America Great Again supporters should be scratching their heads.
They said, he will start a war. I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars.
Donald Trump went to Saudi Arabia and said he was not a neocon, that he did not believe in remaking the region in America's image.
This great transformation has not come from Western intervention or neocons. The so-called nation builders wrecked far more nations than they built, and the interventionists were intervening in complex societies that they did not even understand themselves.
The neocons had free reign in the 2000s under George Bush. What's happening now under Trump is the same forces are seeking to remake the region.
There is no question whatsoever that Saddam is seeking and is working and is advancing towards the development of nuclear weapons. No question whatsoever.
The same night Israel struck Iran, Donald Trump took to his social media account and stated that he is still committed to a diplomatic resolution with Iran. That was part of a long trajectory of feints by the Trump administration to try and lull Iran and the rest of us into a false sense of security. Or is he being controlled? Donald Trump will repeat the mantra,
America first,
America first,
America first.
But when you look down his list of funders, it seems like it might just be Israel first. One of Trump's largest funders, giving him $100 million, is Miriam Adelson, the widow of Sheldon Adelson. Sheldon Adelson bankrolled Donald Trump's first election as president of the United States. Sheldon Adelson very publicly supported the use of nuclear weapons against Iran.
You pick up your cell phone and you call somewhere in Nebraska and you say, okay, let it go. So there's an atomic weapon goes over ballistic missiles in the middle of the desert that doesn't hurt a soul. Maybe a couple of rattlesnakes and scorpions or whatever. And then you say, see, the next one is in the middle of Tehran.
The media and Israel's assets in the US government, like Lindsey Graham, try and convince us.
I would urge President Trump to go all in to make sure that when this operation is over, there's nothing left standing in Iran regarding their nuclear program. If that means providing bombs, provide bombs, whatever bombs. If it means flying with Israel, fly with Israel.
It's not just Palestine that's occupied. It's the entire U.S. Senate. Steve Witkoff, the U.S. envoy to the Middle East, supposedly responsible for negotiating peace, was recently awarded in the presence of Trump's top funder, Miriam Adelson, by Eli Beer, a key individual responsible for lies about October 7th.
I saw in my own eyes a woman 4 months pregnant. They came into her house in front of her kids. They opened up her stomach, took out the baby and stabbed the little tiny baby in front of her and then shot her in front of her family. I saw little kids who are beheaded. We didn't know which head belongs to which kid. We saw a little baby in an oven. They put him in, these bastards put these babies in an oven and put on the oven.
Witkoff stated that Donald Trump was such a supporter of Zionist ambitions in the region that he could actually be Prime Minister of Israel.
He's an incredible friend to the Jewish people. No disrespect to Prime Minister Netanyahu. I think the President Trump could be the first sitting president who could also be the Prime Minister of Israel at the same time.
And that Iran was an existential threat to the world.
Existential threat to Israel, as does an Iran with a large amount of missiles. That is as big an existential threat as the nuclear threat. And this is an existential threat to the United States and the free world and the entire GCC.
They are pushing the idea of this being a preemptive strike against Iran.
We have no choice but to act, and act now. The hardest decision any leader has to make is to thwart a danger before it is fully materialized.
That sounds very familiar.
This requires preemption. I have to say that in the history of democracies, preemption has been, in my mind, the most difficult choice for leaders to make.
In Netanyahu's speech announcing the Rising Lioness operation, he stated,
our action will help make the world a much safer place.
That sounds very familiar.
If you take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region.
The war on Iran has been brought to you by the same people that brought you the war on Iraq.
The most compelling case for preemption against Saddam's regime, I believe, was not made by the president's powerful words this morning, but by the savage action of the terrorists themselves on September 11th. And do the various critics, especially overseas, believe that a clear connection between Saddam and September 11th must be established before we have a right to prevent the next September 11th? Well, I think not.
With very similar justifications being rolled out.
We will not let the world's most dangerous regime get the world's most dangerous weapons. And Iran plans to give those weapons, nuclear weapons, to its terrorist proxies. That would make the nightmare of nuclear terrorism all too real. The increasing range of Iran's ballistic missiles would bring that nuclear nightmare to the cities of Europe and eventually to America.
Netanyahu has been saying this for over three decades.
If Iran acquires a nuclear bomb, it could use any one of these shadowy groups to threaten the United States, threaten the West.
Time is running out.
They're very close. They're 6 months away from being about 90% of having the enriched uranium for an atom bomb.
Weeks away from having the fissile material for an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs.
They have the wherewithal, the stored up preserved knowledge to make a bomb very quickly.
And if not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year, it could be within a few months, less than a year.
A main lobby group pushing for this war for many, many years is United Against a Nuclear Iran. This organization is full to the brim of former Israeli intelligence figures and key neocon actors. It is led by the brother of the man that brought us the war in Iraq, George Bush. Jeb Bush is the senior leadership of United Against a Nuclear Iran. Who else is with him in that position? None other than Mark Wallace, who was George Bush's representative at the United Nations during the war in Iraq. Also on the advisory board of this organization is Meir Dagan, who was the head of Israel's external intelligence agency, Mossad, during the war on Iraq. Another key creature of the US and Israeli military establishment who is featured on the advisory board is Dennis Ross, somebody who has worked closely with the Israel lobby during his time in consecutive US governments. Another key figure on the advisory board of United Against a Nuclear Iran is Zohar Palti, the former director of intelligence at Israel's external intelligence agency, Mossad. In addition to that, a key advocate of United Against a Nuclear Iran is John Bolton, the war hawk who brought us the wars under Bush.
There's no question that Saddam sought weapons of mass destruction, and that is what justified his removal.
In wartime, truth is so important it should be surrounded by a bodyguard of lies.
Do you really believe that?
Absolutely.
You would lie in order to preserve the truth.
If I had to say something I knew was false to protect American national security, I would do it.
The overthrow of Saddam Hussein, that military action, was a resounding success.
The same people that brought you the war in Iraq are now bringing you the war against Iran.
The declared policy of the United States of America should be the overthrow of the mullah's regime in Tehran.
Ambassador, you have long advocated for an action like the one Israel took overnight. Got to get your quick reaction to it.
I think it's off to a promising start.
Good to see you again, Ambassador. What do you make of this first wave of strikes by Israel?
Well, thank God for Bibi Netanyahu. He has cut through the fog and done, frankly, what should have been done as long as 20 years ago.
36 million people across 3,000 demonstrations globally protested against the war in Iraq. But our political elites still took us into it. The US occupation displaced 1 in 25 Iraqis and killed over a million. In the first month of the US occupation of Iraq, it dropped 29,199 bombs. So when Israel bombs a nuclear facility in Iran, you have to remember the bombing of Fallujah in Iraq caused a 38-fold increase in leukemia and a 10-fold increase in breast cancer among women. The bombings which take place today will continue to reverberate for decades to come. There are those who talk about the idea of reparations today for Iraq, but some people did get reparations. Halliburton was given $18 million worth of reparations by the US government for supposed lost profits during the pre-2003 government. Who else got reparations for the Iraq war? Bechtel got $7 million. Mobil got $2.3 million. Shell got $1.6 million. Nestle got $2.6 million. Pepsi got $3.8 million. But Israeli farmers received $8 million, and Israeli hotels and travel agencies received $15 million in reparations from Iraq's money for supposed reparations of lost profits. Not only will they bomb you, kill you, and destroy your people, they will make you pay for it. Those supporters of Donald Trump need to ask themselves, time and time again, when its soldiers are sent to fight wars for the business elites and the corporations of the world, who really wins? It's not the soldier that comes home with life-changing injuries. It's not the veteran that comes home and ends up homeless on the street. And it's certainly not the person on the other side underneath the bombs. The only people that win these wars are those that seek to shape the borders and steal the resources and the political ambitions of the other country. Bombing Iran isn't making America great again.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective.
There was a time when conservative politicians in the United States, like Trump's hero Ronald Reagan, would push back, even lightly, on what Israel was doing.
Israel must have learned that there is no way it can impose its own solutions on hatreds as deep and bitter as those that produced this tragedy. If it seeks to do so, it will only sink more deeply into the quagmire that looms before it. Those outsiders who have fed the flames of civil war in Lebanon for so many years need to learn that the fire will consume them too if it is not put out. And we must all rededicate ourselves to the cause of peace. I re-emphasize my call for early progress to solve the Palestinian issue and repeat the U.S. proposals which are now even more urgent.
It seems those times are no more. Israel is today a psychopathic entity which cannot be restrained, even by its sugar daddy, the United States.
I gave them Golan Heights. I gave them the Abraham Accords. I recognized the capital of Israel and opened the embassy in Jerusalem. And most importantly of all, I terminated the Iran nuclear deal. I was there 4 years, gave them billions and billions of dollars. I was the best friend Israel ever had.
In the words of Donald Trump, it will only get worse. The children in Iran are yours and my children too. The children of the future are yours and my children too. This war will drag us all into it. And like the war in Iraq, which killed over 1 million people and displaced millions more, it will have reverberations across the world, which will harm human life. As you can imagine, it is very difficult to publish information like this that reaches a wide audience. We are very fortunate to have Double Down News existing in the public sphere in the way it does, publishing this vital information. So please support Double Down News now and join their Patreon.